Amen. All right. So, Vayechel. You know, as Dr. Dave gave us his drash, he told us about the building of the tabernacle. And this is what we get to, actually, this week. There's been a lot of buildup over the last couple of weeks through the Torah portions about how to build the temple. And it seems like we've got all these instructions between, you know, Exodus 25 and 31. There were a lot of instructions. And this week, it could seem like just a repeating of the same instructions again. But the reality is, there's a little more detail. And the reality is, before, when he was telling us to do it, it was, here's how you to do it, here's how you to do it. Now it's, here's how they did do it. This is the, you know, this is the portion where they actually do get it done. They actually do the building. And as Dave told us, Bezalel and Oholiab were marked as to have special skill imparted from the Ruach HaKodesh directly. So we read this in Exodus 35, 30, starting there. It says this. Then Moses said to Bnei Israel, see, Adonai has called by name Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Ur, and the tribe of Judah. He has filled him with the Ruach of God, with wisdom, understanding, and knowledge in all manner of craftsmanship, to make ingenious designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, as well as cutting gemstones for settings, wood carving, and making all kinds of skillful craftsmanship. He's also placed in his heart the ability to teach. Both he and Oholiab, son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. So we see these two were not just given skills to complete the work, but to teach others how to do as well. But I bet before they were called, they looked around and said, who am I? You know, maybe the calling came and they looked at each other and they said, we're just craftsmen. We were just slaves. We just do. You know, we're not leaders. We're not teachers. Why me? But the truth is, Adonai had very specific plans for them. Even from the time that they were in Egypt, even as the times that they were a slave, Adonai was preparing them because of the plan he had for them. Regardless of how they may have viewed themselves, he had a plan and a purpose for them. Now for us today, some of us can have those same kind of feelings. Who am I? What am I in Adonai that he should have any kind of plan for me? What am I doing? Why am I here? Maybe you say, why am I here at Karen Orr? Or maybe even, why am I here placed on earth? What's my purpose? But don't forget about Bezalel. Not only was he called to do, he was called to teach. But for a lot of years in his life, he didn't know that. He taught and gave purpose to others as well as to himself. So it doesn't matter if we're Bezalel or the workers that were going to be trained up underneath him. There's still a purpose in each and every one of our lives, each and every person here and at home. So today we can still ask, why am I here? Right? That's the theme for the message today. Why are you here? Here in the congregation, here in a place, wherever the place is that Adonai has placed you, you could ask yourself, why am I here? For those at home, the question may not be, why am I at Karen Orr? But why am I in a place that Adonai has placed me? Now, I hope that most of you at home have a place, a regular place to go to get the fellowship and a message, a congregation that you can attend. And if not, I'm very glad that Adonai has led you to Karen Orr and to be part of the Karen Orr online family. But if you do have a place to go in person, and this is a supplement, well, thank you for being part of the Karen Orr family as well. But if you're unable to attend the service in person, either here or somewhere else, closer to you, because maybe you're out of state, maybe you're not healthy enough to go to a service in person, then I want to encourage you to be in the Word on a regular basis. Amen. But if you're watching us, or those who are here, if you are able to get out to a service on a regular basis, I want to encourage you to be there in person, to go on a regular basis. And there are reasons for attending in person. This is what I'm going to speak on today. There are actually many reasons to attend in person, but I'm going to touch on what I think are maybe the top three reasons for attending in person. And the first one is fellowship with Adonai and each other. The time that we're together, the time that we're all in the same, you know, building, in the same room, it's not supposed to just be a time of we're in the same room. It's a time that we're supposed to be together in fellowship with Adonai and each other. Now, I know most of us know this, but it's still good to hear every once in a while. It's a time to love on each other as brothers and sisters. Peter encourages us about this in the fourth chapter of his first letter, 1 Peter 4, starting in verse 8. Above all, keep your love for one another constant, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable one to another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of the many-sided grace of God. Whoever speaks, let it be as one speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let it be with the strength that God supplies. So in all things, may God be glorified through Messiah Yeshua. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Now, some would say when Peter's speaking here or when he's writing here, he doesn't actually say assemble in one place. He doesn't actually say come into the sanctuary. But what better way is there to share your hospitality with each other? How can you be hospitable if you're not with them? If you're not face to face? How can you better share your gifts with each other if not in person? How can you be the strength for someone else if you're not alongside with them? When we're together and we're in fellowship with each other, it is then that the congregation, that we're going to see the congregation grow, and we're going to see Adonai glorified. Each person adds not to the congregation only, but more importantly, to the glory of Adonai. We're not only called to fellowship with each other, but also with Adonai. Yes, that is a call for each of us every day, right? We're all called to fellowship with Adonai every day. Yeah, even on a Wednesday when we don't come together, we're called to be with Adonai. But even more so when we come together. Adonai's great plan is to tabernacle with us or reside among us. In fact, it's his end plan, which maybe is why it says it towards the end of Scripture. Revelation 21:1 says this, starting there. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I also heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling of God is among men, and he shall tabernacle with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them and be their God. The end plan is the dwelling of Adonai among men, among us. He shall tabernacle with us, and we shall tabernacle with him. This is not just the Ruach HaKodesh as we have now, and that is great having the Ruach HaKodesh now. But it's also going to be in the physical. It's the time we'll actually see the throne of God, see the heavenly temple, the tabernacle that he had us build here on earth was just a reflection of what's actually in heaven. At that time, we're going to actually see the tabernacle. I believe that when we come together in person, in the right way, in unity, in fellowship, just like in prayer, things get multiplied. And among those things that get multiplied is his glory. Is his presence even. Yes, he does not depend on the number of people in order to gain his strength. But it pleases him to see people gather together glorifying him. Fellowshipping together. We're not just coming together, but the reality is that we're really practicing for the time that we will be eternally together and before him. And speaking of practicing, let's look at worshiping, because that's another form of fellowshipping. John 4:23 says this, but an hour is coming. It is not here now. A time is coming. It is here now. When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people as his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The one way we fellowship with Adonai, and there are many others, is through worship, both in song and other ways of worship. But let's just say even today, we're just going to talk about song and attitude. Because the now and here again is just practice. Corporate worship will be for all eternity. Amen. Think you get tired of it with four songs here? Wait, but you know what? If you can enjoy the worship here, you're going to really have your socks blown off. Because that's what it's about. Being before the throne of God, worshiping him, praising him, glorifying him. I want to encourage you to allow yourself to be open around others and truly worship Adonai freely. Open worship is those times between when we're all singing the same song together with the same lyrics, right? That's many people think that's worship. We're all singing the same song and together. It's absolutely true. That's part of worship. But open worship is a time that there'll be between the songs or when Natalie opens it up and encourages you, sing out of your heart. Open your mouth and let your words go forth. She doesn't say, let the words of the song go forth. It's let your words go forth from your heart, through your mouth, out into the air. Don't be concerned what you sound like. Don't even be concerned about what comes out of your mouth as far as the words go. The Ruach will put them there. And maybe when you're not comfortable or you're just, you know, you don't know what to do, you don't know what to say, maybe all you're doing is repeating some of the words from the last song. Glory to you, glory to you, glory, my hallelujah. Maybe that's all it is, and that's okay. Or maybe it's going to be words that you don't even, you know, weren't even connected with the last song, but glorify Him. Give Him the glory. Tell Him how worthy He is. This is a time to practice humility as much as it is worship. Don't worry about being comfortable in front of the person in front of you, behind you, or next to you. As much as we have distancing today. You know, I used to feel so sorry for the person who used to sit in front of me during worship. I was not very quiet, and I was never on tune. But that's okay. The Lord says, make a joyful noise. Especially during open worship, let your heart pour out to Him. That's what it's all about. Open worship is not a time to sink down into yourself, but to rise up with the Ruach to celebrate Him. Not with the same song that everyone else is singing, but with the same spirit with everyone. It could be that it's just a few seconds that you get to do it. It could be for a few minutes that you get to do it. Don't worry. Natalie, as the worship leader, will lead us in and lead us out. The spirit, the Ruach that is within you, will not let you go crazy. And if there is, someone will tap you on the shoulder. We know the Ruach is a Ruach of order. So yes, you're not to stand up on your seat screaming and yelling and waving your hands. That's true. But it is a time to open your heart, open your mouth, open your spirit to Him and sing out those words. He's put them in you for a reason. Sing them out in open worship. Don't worry about the person next to you. And finally, the third point, we're called to support each other. That's one of the great reasons to come together. In many ways, it's also part of the first point of fellowship that I spoke of earlier. But this is an emphasis not on just being a friend with each other, but also helping out each other, praying for each other, loving on each other. How can it be done from a distance? You can't hug someone from a distance. You can't lay a hand on someone from a distance. You know, to be effective and efficient in supporting each other, you have to be with each other. Support comes from hands-on, face-to-face, speaking prayers to the person. It's the building up of each other. And that's what Shaul emphasizes in Ephesians 4, starting in 16. From Him the whole body is fitted and held together by every supporting ligament. The proper working of each individual part produces the body's growth, the building itself up in love. Shaul says that the whole body is fitted together and held together every supporting ligament. But what's he trying to get across is the need for each person. Read that first sentence. As the whole body is fitted together and held together by every supporting person. That's how the body is held together. Our body physically is with ligaments. Our body spiritually is through people holding each other together. Now, WebMD describes a ligament as bands of tough elastic tissue around your joints. They connect bone to bone and give your joints support and limit their movement. Without ligaments, the bones would just be floating around. When I was young, we had a dog who, for whatever reason, the ligaments in its hip didn't form properly. And the muscles, the muscles kind of tightened up around it, and it was able to, she was able to get around, but she could, you know, she had a lot of trouble jumping up onto a bed or running with the other puppy. She could get by, sort of. But you know, without those ligaments, the bones just went wherever they wanted to. They were just loosey-goosey. That's the same with us. If you're missing from the congregation, it's like not having a ligament that holds the bones of the congregation together. There's not going to be a cohesive coming together of the congregation. I know that some of you think, but who am I that I hold the congregation together? You may think, you know, no one misses me. That's just not true. Each ligament has its job. Even the fingers and the bones have these tiny little ligaments no one would pay any attention to. But if the ligaments aren't in the fingers and the toes, you wouldn't have hands and feet that properly function. And I'll tell you what, you may not be just as small and insignificant as you think. Everybody here, and I don't want to see hands, I don't need to hear names, everybody has someone who they think, boy, when I see that person, it brightens up my day. You may not even know you're that person, but I guarantee someone looks at you that way. Small as you may think you are vital to a congregation and the workings of Messiah Yeshua and Adonai in this place. Your love is the ligament of the congregation. Your encouragement that you speak, even if it's only to one person on a Shabbat, helps the whole body. Your encouragement spoken, your prayer, when spoken aloud to them, and maybe not even aloud, is the love that you show through Adonai. Shaul again says in the letter to the Galatians this, starting in Galatians 5:13, brothers and sisters, you were called to freedom. You were called to freedom. Only do not let your freedom become an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole Torah can be summed up in a single saying. You all know this. Love your neighbor as yourself. What does it mean? Don't let your freedom become an opportunity to the flesh. You do have the freedom to make choices. You do have the freedom to make the choice of whether to come to Shabbat service or not, whether to speak to people or not. That's your freedom. To pray for others or not, that's your freedom. But don't let this freedom you have become an opportunity for your flesh to overtake you and drive you into isolation. When you express your love towards others, you not only open yourself, you know, you're not only opening yourself to helping others, you're opening yourself for others to help you. We bear each other's burdens, just as Shaul says later on in Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the Torah of Messiah. Bearing each other's burdens works both ways. If you're not here, then how can the people of Karen Or bear your burdens? And if you're not here, how can you bear their burdens? This also shows that we need to be open. We need to be genuine with each other. When someone says, how are you doing today? It's so easy just to say, hey, fine, how are you doing? But we need to be open and tell people how we're feeling. You know, you may say, this week was the week of heck. And I'm just, you know, I can't make it. I can't go and fake it. I can't put the smile on my face and just fake it for a whole service. And I say, good, don't. Come and don't fake it. Be genuine and tell people where you're at. How are they supposed to pray for you? Don't fake it. Be open. Each person has a different experience, and maybe that experience that they have will help you. 1 Corinthians 12:4, starting there, it says, now there are various kinds of gifts, but the same Ruach. There are various kinds of services, but the same Lord. There are various kinds of workings, but the same God who works all things in all people. But to each person is given the manifestation of the Ruach for the benefit of all. It's not just for them. It's not just for him, or him, and him, and him. It's for all of us. All. What you have just may be what someone needs. You don't know. Trust the Ruach. That when he brings you here, he's bringing you here for a purpose. Maybe the purpose is to benefit you. Maybe the purpose is to benefit someone else. You don't know, but you do need to trust the Ruach that he knows what he's doing. Hebrews 3 says this about reaching out to your brothers and sisters. Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another day by day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. On Shabbat, it is in person and during the week by phone. Right? Day by day. Doesn't just talk about 6 days a week. Day by day includes the Shabbat coming here in person. And the opposite is true. Day by day also means not just on Shabbat. Get a couple of phone numbers and call around. I know there are some people who are very good at it. I know there are some people who are not so good at it. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't be trying. I'm just calling to say hello. That's good. What else you got to say? Nothing. That's good. That's okay. Did I say finally last time? Well, I was wrong. This is finally. This is the third reason. Right? This is the third reason. Shabbat's commanded. You know, what better? You know, you can say that about almost anything. You know, but Shabbat is commanded. We're instructed. We read it every Shabbat, don't we? As a reminder. And it will remind us if we let the words go from our mouth into our ears, down into our hearts. Don't say it out of rote. Don't say any of the literature out of rote. Say it so that you hear it. Say it so the person next to you hears it. It is a reminder. Deuteronomy 5:12. This is the basis of one of our foundational pieces of liturgy. Observe Yom Shabbat to keep it holy. As Adonai your God commanded you, 6 days you are to labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Shabbat to Adonai your God. In it you are not to do any work, not you or your son or your daughter or your slave or your maid or your ox or your donkey or your livestock or the outsider of your gates, so that your slaves and your maids may rest as you do. You must remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, And Adonai, your God, brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, Adonai, your God, commanded you to keep Yom Shabbat. Each week, almost word for word, that's our liturgy. Words are going to be just slightly different because of the version that it came out of, because of the maybe the old-timey way that they spoke, whatever. But they still need to be more than just sounds coming out of our mouth, but fuel for our souls. That's what it's meant to be. That's why we do liturgy. It's not just to fill up time. It's not just to, you know, how much honor and glory are you giving him if you're not paying any attention to what you're saying? How much are you going to get out of it if you're not paying any attention to it? They're meant to be encouragement for our lifestyles. In this case, it's meant to keep our Shabbat, to maintain the rest for the day and to keep it separate from the rest of the week. For 6 days, you had to do all your labor, but the Shabbat is a different kind of day. It's different for us, and it was different for Yeshua as well. And we're told of Yeshua's lifestyle in Luke 4:16. And he came to Nazareth where he had been raised, as was his custom, as was his lifestyle. He went into the synagogue on Shabbat, and he got up to read. Now, the custom, his lifestyle, was not the reading part. His custom was going on Shabbat. It was his custom to go to the synagogue. It was his worship to go to the synagogue. It was his following the Torah by going to Shabbat at the synagogue. And I know it was for all the same reasons that we come together on Shabbat as well. I know that even to those that did not know Yeshua when he went to their services, maybe they didn't know him personally, but he was still a blessing to them, I bet, when they met. He knew the importance of going to the synagogue on Shabbat. We too should have the same attitude. It's not that, you know, he went and he healed and he taught and he had fellowship. Well, I'll tell you what. Sometimes he uses us to heal. Sometimes he uses us to teach. But he always uses us for fellowship. Don't downplay or belittle the Ruach within you or within others by neglecting the meetings of Shabbat. If you're unable to attend the Shabbat meeting or Shabbat service due to an illness or time constraints you can't get out of, you know, I know people who have had to work Shabbats. Happens, yes. We pray that you get Shabbats off so that you can. Sometimes you have to step out in faith. I've had to do that. But that's not the call for everybody. I've lost job because of Shabbat. Adonai has replaced the job because I honored Shabbat as well. So I know it can be very tough. I know it's personal for each person. I know if you're listening on Monday because you couldn't get Shabbat off, you know, honor him with your heart, yes. Pray that you get the Shabbat off eventually. Have others pray that you get the Shabbat off eventually. Shabbat is important. It's the interaction of people of the same faith. It's the interaction with people with the same faith to give and receive encouragement. That's why you should be in the sanctuary as often as possible. You know, when we come together on Tuesdays, it's great to pray together in unity. It's almost as important to have that fellowship together. We get to talk a little bit before. We get to talk a little bit afterwards. I would miss that fellowship. You can get it as a measurement, as a measure from home. Absolutely. I don't think you can do it very well if you're at home and you never listen to a Shabbat service. You know, if you think you can do it on your own, just reading scripture on your own in your Barca lounger, I think you're fooling yourself. I think you can do it at home, maybe not to the fullest measure by listening to a Shabbat service, especially consistently from one teacher, at least one teacher. I mean, if you supplement it with another teacher, if you're listening to me and being supplemented from another teacher, that's your primary teacher, great. You get a little something out from me too, great. But you're missing something not being in person. That's why we pray that people can come out to a Shabbat service. The greater portion is received of praise and worship and the message itself, listening to it in person. This may be an awful equivalent, but I'll say it anyway. How many have gone to a live concert to listen to rock music or classical music or any music? It's always better in person. It's just always better in person. Now add a spiritual component to that. The Ruach is going to move you always more when you're with other people. It's just true. It's just true. Father, I would ask that for everybody who desires to be in a Shabbat service and finds that they're not able to because of financial commitment, I pray that you meet every one of their financial needs and open up the Shabbat for them to attend the service wherever they are located, both local here and everywhere else that this podcast goes to, this live stream goes to. I pray that you open up hearts to desire to go to your services on Shabbat. Ruach, we just thank you that you have caused us to come into fellowship with each other and fellowship with you on Shabbat as we come together. I thank you that we're here to support each other, to love each other, to pray for each other, to hug each other, to allow our tears to be absorbed by their shoulders. I even thank you that you commanded it to us. You know, sometimes we're just like children. We don't know what's good for us, so we have to be told. And you have told us to observe Shabbat. Well, Father, I pray that by your Ruach HaKodesh, our hearts are touched, our minds are changed. But for those who need to hear this, will hear it and know Shabbat is for them. It is for you. Adonai can live. Adonai lives without us being in a service. He caused Shabbat for us. It has a purpose. Each of us has a purpose within the family of believers, within the family of your local congregation, whether it be Karen Orr or somewhere else. Ruach, I thank you for whatever family you've put us into. I thank you for the Karen Orr family. But for those at home who attend another congregation, I thank you that they're plugged into another family. I pray that it's still a family of God who hears the word as it's meant to be. Ruach, I just ask for hearts that are sold out for you and sold out for your Shabbat. And I thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen.